That. All right. We're on lesson six, page six. Last time we covered the Holy Spirit was in Christ at birth, but he's given to his disciples as a gift. In other words, Jesus came into the world with the Holy Spirit already in him. Mm-hmm. B, new material. The whole.
Page six.
Oh, yeah. We never read one John?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead and read it, Ron. Let's get there first. 1 John 5:8. Try the Old Testament, the New Testament.
And there are three bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one.
All right. There are some people who believe that God they believe that God is one being, one person, not three, and they usually at verse sometimes to both. Yeah, that's what I meant. He's one being, but he's three persons. Yeah. Okay, let's just move on. Okay, B, the Holy Spirit was rooted in Christ, but he dwells in us by operation. Colossians 2:9. Carrie. Okay, the Holy Spirit was rooted in Christ, but he dwells in us by operation. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Who's he talking about? Christ. Romans 8:14-16. Vinny. No, read 14 through 16.
Oh, 14 through 16. Okay. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the Spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children.
Okay, so we see that he dwells in us by operation. What does that mean? We just read it. What does it mean? Take a shot at
it. We're in fellowship with him. You know, his Holy Spirit bears witness that we are part of him.
Yep, that's true, but that's not the answer. You're right. Remember, we read in Colossians that he had the fullness of the Godhead. So the Holy Spirit was in him at birth and dwelled in him completely all the time, continually, okay? And he does the same with us, but he dwells in us only by operation. In other words, he dwells in us and we operate, He dwells in us, in that verse we see, by operation. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So what he's saying is he dwells in us, and we know he dwells in us because he leads us. He doesn't dwell in us the same way that he dwelt in Christ. He dwells in us through the operation of using him within us. Everybody's looking.
Empowers.
That's the word. What are you going to say?
Follow up verse as you read Colossians 2:10.
No, read it.
So you read Colossians 2:9. For in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then talking about us in verse 10, it says, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So
right.
As you just said, we gain the strength that he's given us through his power.
Right. Through his
power. By him guiding us now. Amen.
Right. And we see it in the operation of our life. That's the key to keep in mind. And why is it important that we see it in the operation of our life? But let me ask you a better question. How many of you here, and you can raise your hands for this one. How many of you here recently have have had the Spirit testify to your spirit that you're born again, and you got giddy over it. No, really. I mean, you got to get giddy over it. I mean, what I mean by that is when things happen and you say, wow, I know where that came from, right? Mm. I mean, it's important that we understand that we're just not, we're, you know, one of the things that I have, I don't know if it's what it is, but a lot of Christians have all these blessings in Christ and they don't seem to get really excited about it. Yeah. And it's like they don't get, and even those that are really knowledgeable about Christ, it's as if they don't, you know, it's like, maybe it's me. I just never got over that.
They don't realize what it means to be completed.
Ah, they will after the sermon today.
Good.
They will. So anyway, that's why.
Yeah.
What's that? Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, it's not even that. It's like when things happen in your life and you... We got a corner down there, we got a corner up here. One are boys and one are girls. Okay. Wow, we're going to have to put the boys with the girls and the girls with the boys. I felt like, remember Groucho Marx?
Yeah.
With the cigar, that's what I felt like. Yeah. We'll have to put the boys with the girls and the girls with the boys. That's what I felt like. Anyway. Wow. So anyway, I guess what I'm trying to say is, I'm trying to say that there are so many ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to our lives and we see it. And I don't ever want to be dull of it. I don't think we should be dull of it. I think that we should be excited about it. I'm telling you every single time I eat a banana now, I'm giddy because I know who picked it out. I do. I really mean that. Our caregiver likes steak, so I went to Market 32, and I know Mike, the butcher up there. And I said, "Hey, Mike, I'm looking for a good steak." He said, "This is the one," but I looked at it, and I just got that, it just didn't seem right. There was something saying no. So I said, "You know what, Mike, instead of that one, I'll take the next one," right? So I got the steak, and I gave it to her as a gift. And the next day, she comes home, and she said, "You know, my husband and I both agree, this was the best steak we ever had." And I'm telling you, it wasn't a butcher. You can't, when it says his spirit agrees with your spirit, it's that you are in union with God. You're not in union with your friends or your work, or you're in union with the sovereign God.
Yeah.
And that should make you very excited, because not everybody has that union. That union is very reserved. Very reserved.
So you're like acknowledging him in all your ways, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That seems to cover everything, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know how different you think from the people around you.
Yeah.
I mean, we're like Martians, really, to them. If they knew the stuff we're thinking when we're listening to them, they'd probably think, I'm shaking my head all the time, even if I'm not shaking it.
Everything you do it to the Lord.
Colossians 2:12 goes further and actually uses the word operation.
Go ahead. Colossians 2:12.
So we were just talking about 2:9, 2:10 about being complete in him, and then 2:12 says, buried with him in baptism, wherein you also are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who
Amen.
Raised him from the dead.
Amen.
It's
there
all
you
about
go.
The action component, so it's
part of the completion.
I don't have that word in there.
Yep. Buried with him in baptism, where you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. That's so cool. No, I don't.
It's working of God.
Same thing. Operation or working, it's the same thing, right?
With the women's Thursday night class, I had done a little thing on the word shalom. From back when that word was used all the time going from house to house.
Yeah.
And so when they would enter a house, they'd say, shalom. Well, what does that really mean? And through reading about it and how that word was expressed back in that day was the completeness of Christ.
Mm.
So it's not just peace. It's like it encompasses everything Christ did for us to give us the peace and all that he did for us.
Yeah.
So that when you say shalom or peace be with you, it's not a word that should be used lightly, but to remember Christ, what he did, that gives you that shalom,
that
peace.
That peace, yeah.
And everything, that's the completeness of Christ.
One of the problems that the modern mind has is that we look at words like building blocks. They're just red bricks that you pile one on top of the other and you get a mind picture. And there was a time when words, individual words, had a different meaning altogether, okay? Mm-hmm. And so when you see where we are, we've devolved mm-hmm. into the yeah. fact that we use words now like just building blocks instead of thinking of what they mean. And you'll find, though, that there are some people, good writers don't do that. All the people that write very well and their works sell very well, they are wordsmiths, and their words are very important to them. I consider myself a wordsmith, although I'm not very good at it. I do try, and it's because words do have meaning, and they go beyond just taking us from here to there. You can write, you can get from here to there on a horse, or you can get from here to there in a car, or you can get from here to there in an airplane. I mean, there's all different ways of getting there, and the same applies with words. When you just say words, mm-hmm. Words are like bullets. You can't call them back, so you need to use them wisely. Anyway, let's. Yeah, did you have your hand up? Thank you for that. That was very. That's very excellent.
The whole purpose is he's laying out the point that God is complete in all of this, and then he goes further into that chapter and tells us not to do the legalism version of being synergistic,
yeah,
and Arminian, and trying to claim half the prize of
yeah.
worship. That's the end of the chapter.
Yeah.
So he's saying God's doing this completely. You have no part in it.
You're right.
Enjoy it.
Enjoy it. Exactly. That's well put. I like that. All right. So we see that the Holy Spirit was rooted in Christ, but he dwells in us by operation. The Spirit of Christ. Here we go. Romans 8:9. The Holy Spirit is sometimes called the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8:9. Wendy. Okay. And the Spirit of the Son, Galatians 4:6. Galatians 4:6. my mind, I can't believe it. I'm tired. Carolyn.
And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father.
Yes, I told somebody recently, I said, the thing you have to understand about religion is this. It is a family thing. You have father, you have son, you have daughter, you have brother, you have sister. It's all about a relationship, a family relationship. Interesting. Okay, and how about Christ is the great fountain of the waters of life, and from him proceeds every gift and grace. John 4:13-14. John, June. 4:13-14.
John 4:13-14. Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life."
In Colossians 1:16-19, David.
"For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell.
Okay. So we see that for these reasons, the Holy Spirit is referred to the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Son, and Christ is the great fountain from the waters of life. And it's...
If you ever have a Jehovah's Witness knock on your door, they're going to go to that verse and tell you that Christ was the firstborn. He was born back in eternity past, you know, but he didn't exist always, and they're going to use that. And this verse right here, actually, the last part of verse 18 tells you what that firstborn means. It talks about preeminence. It has nothing to do. He's the firstborn from the dead. He was the first resurrected, the one who resurrected on his own power, and that everybody else had to have somebody raise him.
And they died. Yes.
So yeah. You're saying he was a...
They're going to tell you he was a created being. He was born. You know?
I would agree and say you're right, but you know what?
But they're talking about his creation. He's
yes.
The little God.
Yeah. Well, then you know what you do? You take him over to Revelation 4:11. Somebody go there.
Well, that answers it right there. That's
yes, it does. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
They don't read Luke either.
Huh?
They don't read the book of Luke.
I don't know. I don't speak with them anymore. What? Read 4:11, Andrew. Revelation.
Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
That's. Yeah. I have that next to verse 16 in Colossians, because it says almost the same thing. Good.
Is that
for all these reasons? What are you saying, David?
He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead.
Yeah, he's referring to.
Does that refer to his resurrection or defeating death? The first to defeat death.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, when you say defeat death, what are we talking about? Name one person in all of human history that died, resurrected, and didn't die again, besides him?
None.
Mm-hmm. Well, we all have that. Well,
yeah, but not future, in this sense. Future. In other words, he came. He spent 40 days on.
He's the first one.
Yeah, exactly. And also, he came back here.
Yes.
We will never. That's not going to happen with us.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So when it says the firstborn, that's what they're referring to. In other words, Christ always has to have the preeminence in everything. He has to, because he's God.
Yeah.
And the way he gets the preeminence was by being born of a woman, being the first to die, and then resurrect from his own power, okay, never to die again. And the sense that we'll never die again, as Andrew points out, okay, it's true, but he came back to this life and we didn't.
Yeah.
Nobody does.
No man ever came back.
About 1,000 years. Isn't
Don't
Jesus
even go
here?
There. Don't even go there. Don't even go there. That's eschatology. That's eschatology, and I don't want to talk about it. So here we go. I know. I didn't take the bait. Thank you. See that? See that? I'm learning. Okay. Number four. It's for these reasons Paul wrote Galatians 2:20, Wendy.
I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And this life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
How many people here have ever melted cheese, made baked macaroni? You don't have to show your hands. In other words, when you make baked macaroni, what you do is you boil the shells of the macaroni, you drain them, you put them in a bowl, and you melt together cheese and milk and some other ingredients. Some people like ham in there, some people like vegetables in there, and then when you're done, you pour it over all the macaroni, and the cheese melts into the macaroni until it's like. And then you bake it. Mm-hmm. And what happens is in baking it, it just everything is melted together. It sifts itself together. That's exactly how you are in Christ. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You are spiritually melted into him. You are one being with him, just like the cheese is on the macaroni. You are the branch and he is the vine. And that's what Paul is saying in Galatians 2:20. He said, I'm living. And by the way, he only said, yet I live. He said that because he didn't want them to think that he was already dead and somebody was writing for him. But breadcrumbs are good on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he had reached a point in his life when he had melted together with Christ in the same way you melt baked macaroni. And that is the place, that is the goal all of us should have, that it is not we who live, but it is Christ who lives in us. Yeah. And in doing that, what ends up happening is we will have a better relationship with God because we will understand things and see things. Let me ask another question. Since you've been saved and you've gained knowledge in Christ, how different is your relationship now compared to before?
Closer.
Yeah.
You slowly draw away from the legal version that you start with.
Yep.
And you slowly get into a relationship with him mm-hmm. that is based on that spirit-led version.
Yeah.
And that's where you start to get to know him.
Mm-hmm.
You know his character by his law, but you don't know him until you really walk with the spirit. And that's doing so without having the same rigidity of the law and just trusting as you walk without having the need to verify all the time.
And all of that is blended together and melted together in a melt, okay,
yeah.
through application. Application mm-hmm. is the heat that God uses to turn you into spiritual baked macaroni. Get it? The heat that's needed is application. And the applications are sometimes very painful. But
application would be like trials and things like that.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that leads to application.
Well, no, I'm saying application is this. I'm saying that when something bad happens to me, the application is I have to believe Romans 8:28, and I grab hold of that Romans 8:28, and it generates fire inside of me because something inside of me is hurting because my temporary life is somehow being strained or being crushed or being something, okay? And yet I hold on to 8:28, and that provides the heat to make me draw closer to Christ.
You're talking about you apply it. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
And you really have to make that decision when pain comes that you're not going to get scared and run to the law.
Exactly.
The law comforts us. It doesn't give us any healing. When you go in faith and say, I'm okay right now because mm-hmm. God said so, and be still through it,
mm-hmm.
then you're operating in His
Amen. Amen. And of course, God would not let us have a Sunday Bible study without giving me an example on the way to church. And he did. So this morning, I had a very busy morning because it started so early, and I had to get a couple of things. And I always like to have breakfast with my brother Ron, so I picked up some coffee and a couple of sandwiches, right? And I got the big cups of coffee, not the little ones. Put them in a tray, put the sandwiches in a bag, put them on top of the tray, and coming down here, and I got off Fen Road or whatever it is. And the next thing I know, I'm taking my left, and this truck pulls out, and it was like I had to hit the brakes, and when I did, one of the cups went right up, just opened up, and I could almost hear it.
Oh, boy.
I could almost hear it. There was so much coffee in that cup. I mean, it was one of those giant mega cups, right?
Oh, boy.
So as I look down, and I'm looking in the passenger side floor, because it wasn't on my seat, thank the Lord, it was on the floor, and I looked, and I could see ripples in my mat, oh, and I knew there was a lot of coffee there. So right away, the first thing the wheel did was, and then all of a sudden, I said, nope, nope, nope. I'm not going to chase the guy down. I'm not going to yell at him. I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to relax and go to church and worry about it when I get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Strain out all the stuff, of course. So anyway, the point is that was the application. So I did not get upset, and by the time I got, you know, the big hill you go down, I got to the hill and I was humming a hymn. living for Jesus, da-da, gone. That is the point that Paul was at, except he did it continually, I suppose. I do it whenever things happen and I'm gonna blow a head gasket. I just relax and I just realize that I'm not in charge of anything, and that was a test. That was, I don't believe in accidents, but it was something that happened for a reason, and it's okay. It's okay. And I gotta tell you something. I came in here and I felt really good. I didn't feel angry. I didn't feel resentful. I didn't feel anything. And it feels good to trust in God. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's not just when things are bad. It's when stupid things happen in life. That's a stupid thing to me. It's just a stupid thing. And you know how people get upset over stupid things? So I'm claiming the victory for it. And it helps me to grow. That's what I'm talking about for application. Yeah. That's what puts the cheese and melts it into the macaroni. Okay? All right.
By the way, macaroni, the word means mixed up.
It does?
Yeah.
Okay, didn't know that. Okay. D, it is our glorious Savior who sends for himself the Holy Spirit who quickens, sanctifies, and preserves his people. I want to remind you something else again. When Jesus Christ left, he said, I will not leave you orphanless. I will send my Spirit and the Comforter, and... You want to do this? Okay, you can't do this. That's right. You can't do this. Okay. So what ended up happening is when the Holy Spirit came and quickened God's people at Pentecost specifically, when he did that, he then took on the ministry of Jesus Christ on earth, because Christ couldn't do it. Because he had resurrected, mm-hmm. and he was an individual in the body, and he could only be in one place at one time per se, okay? Although he had supernatural powers, but the Holy Spirit was the one that was delegated to take over the ministry when he left. So the point I want to leave you with on that is this. You're never left alone with God. Look at the back of the bulletin this morning. You're going to see something in there. Did you know that the church is the only society in the world that members never leave, even when they die? They never leave, because you're always there. You're part of that society. And so God never leaves you. And so whenever anything happens to you, you have to take into account that you're not riding through that storm, or you're not riding through that stupid event, whatever it is, by yourself. Yeah.
Small version of what it will be like in heaven for us, because we will no longer have the law in the body that follows the law competing with us. We'll just have the openness to trust in God completely, and you get a taste of it when you chose to do that.
No, that's true.
You know, you're in the Spirit at that point, and the Spirit is the place that heaven is.
I agree. That's wonderful. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's a good point. All right. The Bible gives us a beautiful view of the Holy Spirit, of how the Holy Spirit indwells us and works in us. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Ron.
3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?
Okay, do you know that? That you're the temple.
You know what that word "you" here is plural. He's talking about the church. He's
not yes,
talking about individuals
I know.
There. That's how you know the church is important. You see people just flip off church. That's done right there. We're all body parts.
Yeah, I have it here. I have it. What do I have?
You
church.
Have ESV, it'll have a
yeah, I have the word temple, and I have it. I have it circled with the word church, plural.
And then he says it. 17.
And also, I have it in 17 as well. The temple is church, plural. And also the word temple, the second use of it in 17b is plural.
That's how you know when somebody doesn't take church seriously, or something spiritually wrong. When a Christian does not take church, the local church, seriously, and, you know, sporadic attendance and everything like
you know, that. There is passages that do talk about your requirement to be in church. You know that. They're Old Testament passages, but they're still in there.
Just drink, yeah. So Ecclesiastes says, same. equivalent of the Hebrew word kalal was the word, our word is ekklesia.
Ekklesia, yeah.
It's a gathering. It was gathering Jews. Now it's Jews and Gentiles together as a church, Israel is expanding. Christians have got that all messed up. Believe me.
It says in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 12. Go to 11. When all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which ye shall choose, thou shalt read the law before all Israel in their hearing. 12. Gather the people together, men and women and children and thy stranger that is within the gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of his, of this law. That hasn't changed much. What is the active verb in the Great Commission? An active, no, it's not go.
Make
disciples. That's the job of the church.
You're
going to go, yeah.
Because that actually transliterated each as you are going. You're going to go. Everybody's
I forgot about that. You're right. In the original language, it means as you are going. Yes, yeah. I forgot about that. I forget what tense it is, but that's what it means. But anyway, so the church, if the church's job is to teach and to help you grow, and you're not taking advantage of that, then you're not growing. And if you're not growing, you remember I told you once that our walk with Christ is like walking an ice mountain. Mm. And when you climb, mm-hmm. you're going up. But if you stop, you're going to slide down. Mm-hmm. Because there's no reverse in Christendom. You're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. It's that simple. Galatians 4:6. Jerry, Galatians 4:6.
Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
There you go.
We did that above.
I thought we did that.
That's the second time.
Yeah.
She under sea.
Yeah. Because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit. Amen. All right. We're going to stop there, and then we'll pick up next time on verse on number one. You know, one of the things, and I just thought of it when Carrie said what she did about, I had already mentioned that the calling is irrevocable. You know, one of my Bible teachers, I think it was, maybe you older guys would know, we're done with this class for now.